What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm joined here with Coach Nick Spaghetti.
Hello, Nick Spaghetti, yeah.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great, good chat. So, Nick Spaghetti, I've got to ask some exciting news for you.
Oh, go for it.
Exciting news. Exciting news for everybody. If you've been following me on social media, yes, you might have found out that I'm going to be expecting my first child this year.
Congratulations!
Yes, it's going to be exciting. So not only am I Coach Steve, not only am I Dr. Steve to some people, mm-hmm. I'm now going to be Papa Steve to
a few.
So that's probably the best prefix out there, right? Being Papa Steve.
Definitely.
We're excited. We're trying to keep the gender a secret between us, even though we've dropped the pronoun a few times. But hopefully, whatever comes out, either boy or girl, will be squatting out of the womb, doing some bench presses and some backflips.
Absolutely.
And it's
going
to be... future Olympian coming up.
Expect nothing less.
No pressure for my future child.
No pressure whatsoever.
But did you know that Max and Maxine have baby products, right? So there's little baby onesies that have been provided to me, both a Max and a Maxine. So whatever child comes out in September, so September I'm expecting, it will be dressed up in Max or Maxine.
For those of you who are playing at home, there are two little outfits in Coach Steve's office right now that we're looking at, so we don't know which one you're going to pick up, do we?
I know, but you don't.
No, we is us.
We is us.
You
us
is you. We.
Yes. Yeah. So, my life is going to change quite a bit over this year. So over the next, 6 months, as, I start to mature into parenthood and then become a parent. I'm sure there's going to be different lifestyle that I'm going to have to adopt, and I'm sure there's many parents who are listening to this who know exactly what I'm going to be going through.
Yes.
And I'm sure that my life will become a little bit more stressful, right? Which is, I guess, what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about stress, why stress is important for the body, why stress might not be important for the body, then what stresses are out there, and then I guess what we can do to manage that stress.
Right? Yeah, this is going to be great today.
Yes.
Really good.
Now, stress is important, right? Because the body is really cool where it adapts to things. So whatever stresses we apply to the body eventually adapts to that stress, either in a positive direction or a negative direction, depending on the outcome that we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Right? So we call this GAS, which is General Adaptation Syndrome. So if I was to apply a new stress on the body, over time, the body's going to adapt to that, let that be metabolically, physiologically, maybe the endocrine system, maybe the musculoskeletal system. And this is essentially what we try to do in the challenge.
Yes.
We're applying a stress on the body, let that be a diet. We're trying to apply stress like, resistance training or cardio training, or we're trying to apply stress, maybe in a school environment where we're trying to teach somebody something. And the body adapts to that by, maybe rebuilding some more nerves, building some more muscle, changing the body composition that we have. Now, over time, these stresses, once we adapt to them, aren't stresses anymore, right?
No.
They're within our capacity.
That's right.
Right. So if we were to consider like a graph, there's a certain line, which is our total capacity, our working capacity. And this could be, maybe like a cup, right? Mm-hmm. You have a cup that is your total capacity. And there's a certain amount of stress that you can put into that cup and fill it up with liquid, as you would, before the liquid starts to overflow, right?
Yes.
And imagine this cup is sitting next to your computer, right? So you've got this cup of capacity that you have, and you're slowly filling it up with water, right? And if the cup starts to overflow, then you've got water next to your computer. And it's only a matter of time before that water eventually starts to destroy your computer, right?
Mm.
And it's a similar thing that happens in the body, where if we are applying lots and lots of stresses that are too much for our capacity, and each person's capacity is going to be different depending on a range of different factors, which we'll touch on today. But if that water starts overflowing, eventually we see breakdowns in the body, right? So that breakdown could be maybe mental breakdowns. So we start feeling like, the classic stress that we see in media now, or feeling anxiety, fears, worries, these types of things. We might see musculoskeletal breakdowns of stress where, we become injured, sore, we're in pain, we have inflammation, those types of things. There might be metabolic breakdowns in stress, endocrine systems, nervous systems, different systems in our body eventually breaking down because the stresses are too much. Those computers are breaking down from the water that we have, right? But stress is interesting, fascinating, but I think more and more of us from day to day are experiencing lots more stress, lots of pressure, on us, right? So yes. that this cup is starting to be filled up with lots of things from, you know, we've got work-related stresses, mm-hmm. we've got financial stresses, we've got environmental stresses, we've got, you know, world news that's stressing us out. Like, oh, yes. geez, what's happening in America? Oh, right?
Yeah,
who cares? We're on the other side of the world, right?
Yeah.
So we start to fill up our cup with lots of things. Then we've got already a cup that's very full, and then we're trying to
cram more in,
and we're trying to fill it up with training and a diet, and we're trying to lose weight. Yeah, no wonder that you're falling apart. No wonder your motivation is low. No wonder that you're not losing weight.
Yeah.
And it's a negative process.
Something's got to fall out of that cup. So, yeah, it's going to happen.
Now, if we are really stressed and we're thinking about the challenge, we know that stress and cortisol can really just turn down the dial in our ability to build muscle. Right. So if you're stressed, you're going to hit a plateau. Your body's just not going to build muscle. Right.
No, it's going to focus on looking after you in other ways. Your body's pretty smart.
It's pretty smart. And it really comes back down to that that fight or flight response.
Mm.
Right. That sympathetic nervous system response where if you are in this heightened state of stress, this fight or flight, like, you know, you're always on edge, your body's never going to, you know, rest and digest where you're going to recover and grow.
So if you're
constantly stressed, you're not going to build muscle.
No, right? You're not, because it doesn't know if you're running from a lion or if, you know, something's happened at work. It just doesn't know. Your body doesn't know.
No. Then, you know, when we're thinking about weight loss, same thing. If you're stressed, your body's going to have a really difficult time to lose weight.
It's going to say, I need to hold on to this because I don't know what's coming. Yep.
And even down to the simple, like, metabolic processes of, let's say, digestion. If you're constantly stressed, you're going to have a hard time digesting food. And if you're having problems digesting food, you're going to have symptoms of things like bloating, flatulence, gas. You're not going to feel well. You're going to feel uneasy. You're going to have a low energy, so then you're more likely to eat more. So we see these, like, links between losing muscle because we're stressed. We see these links of not losing body fat. So if anything, we start to gain body fat, lose muscle, and then it's this negative feedback loop. Even though we're training, let's say we're training 7 days a week, trying to eat in an energy deficit, we see this negative feedback loop where the body just doesn't want to make the change because we are living in this state of stress all
and
the time.
Do you know what? Then that makes you more stressed out because you look at it and you go, I've actually been compliant.
Mm-hmm.
I've done everything that has been asked of me. And why isn't this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where suddenly that'll make you more stressed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a circle, a vicious circle.
Yeah. Circle of life, of stress. Mm. Yes.
Of stress.
So, yes, stress can be used in a good way, and stress can come on to us in a negative way. So it's definitely good and bad to it, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Stress can work for you. You know, in the gym, our body needs a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in other ways, we need to really take control of how to manage it ourselves.
So I want you to walk away from this thinking about your cup, about how much stress you can handle, and then, you know, things that are already inside that cup right now before we add other things.
And also things that end up being non-negotiable that you can't take out of the cup.
That's right.
You can't take everything out of your cup.
No.
I mean, you know, unless you're on a holiday or something like that, and I hope some people do get to do that.
Yeah.
But you know, some things live in your cup.
That's
so
right.
You're going to have to work out other things that you can take out of that cup.
Yeah. So let's start by talking about some things that might be in someone's cup right
mm-hmm.
now, okay? Or some things that are in our cup right now. So I think the first thing, maybe like non-challenge related, is our lifestyle, mainly starting with like our friends and family, right? So starting in the household, those are stresses that we need to consider. So let's say you have kids or me, my future child, or if you have, you know, mom, dad, maybe you have like a distant relative that lives with you, or other, maybe a share house environment. So this house environment is the starting point of stresses that are applied now, right?
That's right. And that's sort of almost, if that's a stressful environment, that's also where you are meant to relax. So it's a bit of a contradiction, you know, and that happens, you know, say to parents where you might be trying to relax, but like if you've got, you know, pretty much two teenagers like I do, it's you don't actually have guaranteed relaxation time at that point, which I've realized. So that's something that I have to now factor in, that I may not get the exact relaxation time that I might have used to have had,
because
their problems will kind of come before anything that I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like myself, I live with my partner, who's now pregnant, and then I've got my little puppy, my little kitten, right? Yeah. So I think my stresses at home are very different to yours.
Yes.
But you know, if anybody has a pet, understands that there are some responsibilities for those pets,
absolutely,
especially young pets and those things.
We've got two bunnies,
right?
And a dog. So.
And a dog. Yeah. And then, so like now my stresses are slowly increasing. If I have to change like my identity in the house, going from, you know, just Coach Steve or Steve doing his thing to now eventually Papa Steve, right?
Yeah.
I'll have to change, you know, how much water I put in this cup, right? Because now I'm going to be starting to consider other stresses in my immediate environment, such as, you know, if my partner is becoming pregnant and she can't leave the house to go food shopping, I'm gonna have to do that myself. Not a big stress, but just a little bit, right?
Just little bits.
Little bits.
It's because it's all bits of water that eventually they'll you know, it doesn't matter how big the water is, eventually the cup will get full.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. So the next thing that's closely related to like our home environment is more so of our lifestyle, and probably the bigger part would be like our financial health. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk about this much in the challenge. We're a fitness program,
yes.
Right? But our financial health is as important as our, you know, general well-being, right? Because if we are finding that we are stressed financially, that's another thing that we've got to consider in our cup.
It can bleed into everything else. And it can also cause you to make very strange decisions around work, which can then cause a cascade of stress.
Yep.
I've done this before when in my younger years where I've accepted various classes around various gyms and back to back, and sometimes not giving myself any time.
Mm-hmm.
I had one where I was going from Box Hill to Caulfield and I had to be there in 20 minutes to do spin classes. It was utterly ridiculous. The most stressful thing that I put myself through just for a quick dollar or two.
Right.
So those financial decisions can actually, they can lead you to getting speeding fines. I mean, that's literally, you know, nearly losing your license, stuff like that. So it's just financial decisions are very important because they can really, you know, once you've got that sorted, you at least feel a little bit comfortable to move forward with other decisions, I find.
Closely linked, I guess, to finance would be like our work life and work stresses. And, you know, living in the classic 21st century of capitalism, some work-related stresses can be quite pertinent to the individual, right?
Yes.
Where, you know, you're reaching deadlines, you've got maybe bosses, or you're running your own business, and you're trying to meet like financial things or clients and patients or whatever role you have, your work environment, your work stresses will be very unique to you. And for some, that takes up all of their cup. For others, you know, it's a very small level of that cup. Or even just trying to find work can be stressful for
absolutely.
Others, especially with COVID times.
Definitely. And also, with more accessibility for work where things are online a lot, like both of my jobs, the studio and this job, it's online. So I have to figure out sometimes, do I answer something at 11 at night?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I be asleep anyway? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't have to answer everybody at that time of night. So you have to almost cut yourself off because you could sit there all night and do it. Because we actually, I'm not trying to speak on behalf of you as well, but because we love our job so much, it doesn't feel like a job. But then you have to remember that it is a job.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you will never stop.
No, no.
So that's sort of, I think, both of us as well, where we have to factor that in and go, wait a minute, what's work and what isn't?
Yeah.
And I do need a break from things sometimes, even if it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, the next thing that's closely linked to that would be like our immediate connections outside of our household, outside of our work. And I'm mainly referring to like our friends, our lives, our lifestyle outside of that environment. So that could be maybe social groups you're involved in, maybe like footy teams you're involved in, maybe just your friendship group, catching up with your girlfriend at lunch or brunch or whatever it is. So these other stresses can be complemented in, especially if, you know, if you're very, gossip girl-like person, right? Where, you know, you're constantly trying to keep up with the Kardashians or whatever the latest lingo is. That could be another stressor to think in
absolutely.
And consider, right?
Especially even just speaking of new babies and like once you start getting into the mother's groups and things, you want to choose those very carefully because that can be, it can end up being one of those things of there's so much comparing and everyone's a little bit lost. And once you find your group, it's fine.
Yeah.
And you can have a bit of fun. But that can be quite stressful for new parents as well.
Yeah.
Or even moving forward into school and you know, you don't really get to choose who your kids are friends with, so you become friends with their parents, and you may not have the same values.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all little stresses that you
absolutely
kind of have to encounter along the way as well.
Absolutely. I think adding on to that is another concept. You've heard of the term FOMO before,
yeah,
right? Fear of missing out.
That's me 24/7
yeah,
still,
yeah.
So yeah.
So that's another stressor to consider, mm, like the idea of FOMO. There's also another concept which has become a bit more popularized with, quote, millennials, which is FONO, fear of not knowing, right?
Oh, wow.
Fear of not knowing. So what that means is that there is this pressure, and you know, young people would understand this, and anyone who's in, like, across social media feels like they can relate to this, where there's an inherent fear of not knowing what another person is talking about, right? So let's say I was going to talk to you about, oh, did you watch the Meghan Markle interview with Oprah, right?
Mm.
And if you didn't know what I was talking about, you feel this sense of fear and stress, being like, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. Even though, one, I personally don't care about the royals, my partner does, that's fine. I don't care for, you know, that drama or whatever's going on over on the other side of the world. But there's an inherent level of, like, fear of not knowing or keeping up with, you know, the lingo or those, the latest news and things like that, right? Which can add a level of stress. And everyone's probably experienced this around, like, that COVID period, right? Especially, let's say you're in Melbourne and trying to keep up to date with, oh, what's the COVID numbers? Or what's the latest lockdown news? Or where are these restrictions lifting? Or even whichever state you're in, like, trying to keep up with, oh, what's happening? What's the latest news? So, like, there's this inherent fear of trying to keep up with it, right?
Yep.
Even though it's something you might not care about at all.
It might actually stress you out so much that it's worth taking a step back and not caring anymore. I know a lot of people ended up switching off the news last year, just going, I just can't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the US, everything. I think a lot of people just went, no, I just can't.
I can't. I've had enough.
Yeah. They'll tell us what to do and that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one would be that a little bit further, which would be our general environment. Okay, so this is, I guess, a broader sense of things such as, like, let's say, pollution that would add stresses to our body, things like noise, things like the area you might live in. So there's other environmental factors that can add extra stresses into the life. And sometimes they're very acute, as in, oh, someone cut you off in traffic, environmental stressor.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it could be that you live in the CBD, there's constant noise, constant light, constant, let's say, like, pollution. So that adds extra stresses into your cup, right?
Yeah.
Of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, just before we touch on our training and nutrition style of stresses, there's one more stressor that we need to acknowledge, right? And this kind of gets put into a concept of this idea that the body always remembers, right? The body always remembers previous trauma, okay? And it's sometimes described as, like, a trauma soup. So our body always remembers this soup of things that has happened to it in the past,
mm,
right? And that could be, you know, quite traumatic trauma, you know, something that is very much outside of our scope, you know,
mm,
you going and seeing a psychologist type trauma.
Mm.
It can be trauma like you being in a car accident, your body remembers that stress, or just trauma of, you know, the history that your body's been through, the history of your nervous system, right? It's this constant accumulation of stress in your life.
Yes.
So even before we think about any other thing, you might be a person that has lots of stresses in their life simply because of the history you've been through. Okay.
Yeah.
That might not be something that you're able to easily take out of your cup, but it is something that we need to acknowledge, that each individual will have certain levels of stresses that they live with.
Absolutely.
Right?
And everyone's unique.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's very much above our pay grade.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the big dandy, training and then nutrition. Okay.
Yes.
So starting off with training, there is probably the biggest aspect of stresses that we're going to increase our cup with, probably would come from our training, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is mainly involved in physical stresses that we apply. That's whenever we are actively activating our central nervous system, you know, that fight or flight response. We're trying to do that when we're training, right?
Yes.
You know, you being under a bench press with your body weight on the bar, like, that's a stressful moment, right?
It is.
You squatting like two times your body weight, that's stressful, right?
Yeah.
You trying to raise your heart rate to, you know, its maximal potential, like, you know, 160, 170, 180, like, that's a stressful period, right?
Absolutely.
And not only is that stressful in the moment, that adds to our cup of trauma, this soup, right? Where there's a lingering accumulation of fatigue that adds onto our levels of stress.
Yes.
Right?
whether we know it or not. That's right. Just our body's way.
That's right. So sometimes when we are one to maybe be training above our ability to recover, right? We're kind of borrowing from the future. Right?
We are. I love right? that. Yeah. That's so true.
And whenever we borrow from the future, we kind of have this interest that we have to pay onto that, right?
That's so good. Yes.
And that's like a similar idea of this, you know, lingering accumulation of trauma, lingering accumulation. It's kind of like interest, right? Mm. So whenever we're in a position where we might be training above, or we're overreaching or overtraining, we have to pay the cost of that to recover from that. And sometimes this interest is manageable. Sometimes it gets so much so that we're drowning in debt of yes. recovery. Okay.
And even say with say a bodybuilding competition, that's a voluntary, it's like a voluntary loan. We mm-hmm. actually know, because mm-hmm. the recovery from it can be quite traumatic on your body the other way. And yep. you know, so yep. sometimes we do it voluntarily, like yep. if we're entering, say, a marathon, other things like that. Yep. You just, you know.
Yeah.
But it's always, you're always going to have to pay it back.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And that might be that you constantly stay in this state of, you know, paying back the loan for 30 years like a mortgage, where you're constantly under-training for a very long time.
Mm.
Or you pay it back by, you know, suffering an injury or something similar. Or you have that breakdown that we described earlier. Or you have to actually physically take some time off, like a week or very much programmed things like deloads, which we'll talk about in a moment. But stresses in training come on whenever we are applying stimulus to the body. It is a self-limiting thing where there's only so much training you can do before you get tired and you want to stop, right?
Yep.
You can't sprint forever. Your body's going to stop you from doing those things. But we do need to acknowledge that whenever we are going through a training program, that is a stressor that is no different. Your body doesn't know the difference between squatting 200 kilos or trying to meet a deadline or trying to beat rush hour traffic. They're all the same stress to your body, right? And then finally would be our nutritional stresses, okay? So this is twofold. One would be energy stress. So being, if you are in an energy deficit, that's quite stressful.
Yes.
Very stressful for the body. And then two would be a nutritional deficit, where if you are eating poorly nutritionally, that adds stresses. So if you are not having enough, I don't know, fiber, water, vitamin D, iron, these are stresses that apply to your body that your body has to try to recover from.
Absolutely. It'll borrow from somewhere else.
That's it.
So, yeah.
That's it.
Hair loss, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So we've touched on lots of different types of stresses. Nick, have I missed any?
I don't think so. I think, I mean, we've spoken about mental, we've spoken physical. No, yeah. I don't think so. I think that's the broad umbrella, and then within that, there are just so many
little things. Yeah, yeah. So we've talked about lots of different things that could fill up your cup. Right. So we're talking about, you know, like this liquid inside the cup. Sometimes there's, you know, maybe residual liquid that stays in there, even though you tipped your cup out, you know, sometimes there's still stuff left over. Sometimes we're actively pouring things into it. Sometimes we're pouring things on purpose. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're pouring things in that we can control. Sometimes we can't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But at the end of the day, we need to consider this cup. And, you know, sometimes maybe a different way to think about it is like we're borrowing from the future with some aspects, but we always got to pay back that little bit of interest for it.
Mm.
Now, let's touch on ways that we can either empty our cup or make the cup bigger.
Yeah, right? That's a good idea too.
Right.
Add an extension to the cup.
Add an extension to the cup. Now, this idea of growing the cup is this idea of increasing our capacity. And whenever we're applying stress to our body, there is that adaptation where we slowly become better at adding more and more stresses, okay? And you know, you might experience this through, let's say, your training. At first, you can only cope with 60 kilos on the bar with a squat, and then now you can cope with 70 kilos. So you've adapted to that stressor, right? So your cup is now a little bit bigger, so you can squat now, you know, 70 kilos at 10 reps, that's 700 kilos of volume for 3 sets. So there you got like 2.1 tons of load going through your body, and you can adapt to that stress. Yes. Happy days, right? And, you know, for others, you know, if they work, let's say 80 hours a week, something ridiculous, you know, you can maybe increase your ability to adapt to that, right? So you slowly get bigger and bigger, right? But there is that certain point where it won't go any bigger, right? So there is ways that we adapt to that, yeah. Now, the first step when we are thinking about changing what's inside this cup is to acknowledge it. So if you're having a stressor in your life, step number one is to acknowledge that stressor.
Very okay. important. Yeah. Just voice it to voice yourself. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, very important, because the worst thing you can do is pretend that it isn't happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, that it might be really obvious what the stressor is. Oh, I'm training, so that's my stressor, right? But then sometimes the stressor could be that, you know, you're worried about your kids, or you're worried about how someone's going to react when you say certain news to them or something like that. So sometimes it takes voluntary effort to have that conversation, to acknowledge it with an individual or a group of individuals, or a group, or acknowledging it to yourself that, yes, I am stressed, right? The next step would be to look for ways to either modify that stress or remove that stress. Sometimes we can't. If you're training, you can't remove that stress.
No.
But if that stress...
At least that's a positive stress.
That's a positive stress.
You want that. You just want to manage it. You want to be very... It's a dance.
Yeah.
That's actually a fun dance to have.
It's a fun dance. Mm. But then sometimes you can modify that stress. Yes. So like if you are finding it too stressful, it's touching on your capacity or making your cup overflow, then you can find ways to modify it. All right, maybe let's just squat a little bit less this week, or do one less set, or have change our training program.
Yeah, so how would someone know if that's happening to them?
Yeah, so we would have to look for certain triggers that are leading to this breakdown, okay?
Mm.
So that could be things across a range of different systems in the body. So let's say musculoskeletal systems. So that could be things like those aches and pains that they're experiencing. That could be an inability to progress their training, so the muscle can't adapt to that. That could be the feeling of stress, anxiety, fear. The loss of motivation is often when we reach that breakdown. Then there's other physiological outcomes, such as, let's say, in women, losing their period,
yep.
Maybe losing hair, maybe feeling of malaise, unwellness in the body, and then even things like problems with digestion and other systemic things. So there's a whole range of things
signs
that we could look for.
Yeah.
But I guarantee that if I said to you or anybody listening, when you're stressed, what do you do? Like everyone has their own thing, right? Yes. And that might be, oh, I bite my nails. So if you're feeling stressed, you know, you're looking at nails, you're biting it. If you're, most of it when we're looking at in a training sense, if you're unable to progress in your training, or you've hit a plateau in your body composition changes, either weight loss or weight gain, then we go, okay, something's not quite right.
Mm.
Yeah, which is probably the sense of the podcast here. But if you are experiencing feelings of unwellness and things like that, maybe it's stress, or maybe we need to seek further advice and help from someone outside. So we've got our steps of what we can do. One is acknowledge that stressor. Two, we can then look at modifying or removing that stress. And then once, if we are able to make those changes, we can then reflect on it, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, let's say I was really stressed because my dog wasn't going to the toilet, right? I tried to change it. Either I had one of those like indoor training mats, or I would go outside in the rain and wait for my dog to go to the toilet, those types of things. Then I eventually found a way to train my dog. Then we adapted to that stress of like trying to get the dog to go to the toilet. Then I reflected on the process of doing that, being like, okay, what worked, what didn't, how can I prevent that from happening in the future? And you know, we adapted to that, so now the dog knows that it goes to the toilet outside, right?
Yes.
So I'm no longer stressed, so I manage that stress effectively. But if you can't make those changes, it might be worth spending some time reflecting on how that stressor was introduced to your life, and then what you can do to remove that stress.
Yes, right?
Now, let's talk about other common ways that we'd look at managing stress, okay? And probably the common one that most of us are aware of is things such as meditation, okay? Have you had much experience with meditation?
I have. I've done all sorts of different types. But for me, the best way, it's sort of really just sitting down, not consciously saying I'm going to meditate, letting my thoughts come to me.
Mm.
And so one of the ways that I will do it now is to go for a walk, but with zero devices. So that's my compromise, because I'm still not at the point where I can just sit still and breathe. I don't know why, so that's something to work on.
Yeah.
But for me, going for a walk with zero devices for an hour or so, that's enough to bring my thoughts together.
To take a breather.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do something very similar when I walk the dog in the morning. I leave my phone at home.
That's good,
And yeah, maybe like half an hour type walk. And that's enough for me to kind of like just literally walk and smell the roses, right?
Yeah,
like,
well, I think we're so surrounded by technology and you know, I mean, the first thing I do when I wake up is to look at everything. And that's not the best idea.
Mm.
I mean, I've I've been advised to even go outside. The first thing you do when you wake up is supposed to be putting your feet in the grass. Now, yeah. I don't do that.
Good but earthing.
Yeah. I don't do that. But, yeah, so we wake up, we look. So to be without your device for a minute, I actually find also that my kids over COVID got really used to using their devices all the time. So it's another strategy that I will use for the entire household to just take a chill pill is to remove devices from everyone. Remove
devices, yeah.
So device going away, that it's almost sad that that's a form of meditation now, right. But that for real, in this day and age, that's a way to connect with your thoughts a little bit more.
Yeah. I think like meditation in the simplest sense is just listening to your thoughts.
Yes.
Right? Just being alone with you and yourself.
Exactly. Right? That's so true. Just alone with you and yourself. So there's no pressure. You don't have to sit like on a hilltop.
And like,
you don't have to. I mean, unless that works for you. Because that's like obviously a breathing technique, which would be probably wonderful to incorporate. You know, like it's deep breathing. That's great.
Yeah.
If that works for you and you have the time and or you make the time, brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah, just without your device.
Yeah.
That's me.
I think when it comes to meditation, you know, we're trying to like acknowledge the thoughts that we have, and then we're trying to reach a state of stillness where, you know, we might not be thinking about anything, right? And without getting too airy-fairy with it, you know, maybe we're trying to tap into that subconscious, and you'll probably find times when you do have no thoughts at all is the times when your brain is most active, right? And if you think of the idea of stillness or like balance is, you know, hundreds of small movements that give a sense of stillness. So if you do reach stillness mentally, it's lots of small actions that's happening mentally that reaches a sense of stillness. Right?
It's funny you should say that because say I love to draw. So if I'm ever just doing an artwork and hasn't been for a while, but I become completely immersed in that activity. That's that sort of flow state that people talk about where time just goes. So you don't really know what you've thought about and you're drawing. So that's almost a form of meditation as well because you just become engrossed in an activity and you're so busy that you forget everything else.
Yeah, it's like that sense of flow.
Yeah, it's a wonderful state to be in.
Yeah. So flow is often described as doing a task that's just outside of your skill set, right? So let's say you're, I don't know, playing an instrument. Let's say you are at proficiency level of, I don't know, 50. If you were trying to play at 51, like then you kind of reach into this sense of flow because it's just outside of, you know, your capacity, right? And that's similar. We get that exact same effect in weight training, in exercise, right? Where we find our level of skill, right? Our competency. And then if we are trying to just slightly overreach, then we get into this state of flow where nothing else exists except what you're doing in that moment.
That's what I love. And that's what I love about all sorts of exercise because that is such a way to get that flow and nothing matters other than that 1 minute of whatever you're doing. You could be as stressed as anything, but if you've got to get 10 reps in that amount of time that it takes you to do that,
nothing else matters.
And it's a very nice way to give yourself a break almost, even though is that your break? What? But you know, it's just that is, if you know how to do that, it's actually like a really good tool. To realize that, you know, just connect with your actual physical being.
Well, you've heard people describe exercise as, you know, my outlet, right? It's like a way to de-stress is to exercise. Sometimes we take that so far that the de-stressor becomes the stressor.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Right? We've all done
kind of what we've been talking about here. You can definitely use exercise as a state of flow, as a state of meditation. And even myself now, I don't necessarily do formal, you know, sit down, I'm meditating now, don't interrupt me, that type of thing. But I go into positions or create systems in my life where I am alone with my thoughts. And that could be when I'm walking my dog, that could be while I'm exercising, or, you know, while I might be, you know, researching things where I get into this sense of flow where time doesn't matter. Like nothing else matters. Like you could be trying to like get my attention, but I'm in the zone, you know, and that's enough for me to kind of reset. And that's how I like control my thoughts, de-stress, and move forward, right? Next, you know, probably the biggest way to empty our cup is when we consider our sleep, right?
Oh, definitely.
And it's a difficult one, because when we're stressed, we sleep poorly, and when we sleep poorly, we become stressed, right? It's a
chicken egg.
Yeah, it's a negative positive feedback loop, right? Where one increases the other, so it's a positive feedback loop, but it's one we don't want, right? So it's a negative positive feedback loop. So often, you're right, chicken or the egg. Is it the sleep first that's causing us to be stressed, or is it the stresses in our life? And you know, we can look at different ways to modify both, and we could test if it's one or the other. I'm finding sleep right now is becoming a bigger and bigger issue, especially from what you said earlier about devices, right? Just the classic being on your device, aimlessly scrolling, next thing you know, it's 1 a.m. It's like, okay, you shouldn't have brought your phone to bed. That light, that blue light.
Apparently, it's just like the sun.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then that constant stimulation, right? Let's say you're scrolling through Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, whatever it is, and you're scrolling through, you're just waiting for the next hit of dopamine. So your brain is constantly active. It's not getting a time to just wind down and slow down, right? So if there's my one big tip for you to get better sleep is to just put charge the phone in another room. Just don't put it in the room.
Leave it.
Yeah.
You don't need it. Everyone, we all think we need it.
Yeah.
But I mean, unless you're an emergency, you know, or you're on call or something, but you probably have your routine around that. So most of us who are not doing that don't need it.
Yeah. But you know, I did a whole podcast on sleep called Sleep Your Way to a Six Pack. So if you are interested in sleep, you could go check out that podcast. And Nick's also written up an article as well. You can check out on the Challenge website. Now, you know, we've spoken a little bit about meditation, a little bit about breathing, a little bit about sleep. But I think the biggest one would be this idea of self-care, right? So to decrease our stresses, you know, we really need to look after ourselves, right? Yes. And I haven't experienced this yet, but I know that as a parent, you kind of become priority number two, where your child becomes priority number one, right? Yeah. You kind of put yourself second.
Yeah, there's no choice.
There's no choice.
It just comes that way.
Yeah, and sometimes you do need to become a little bit selfish, where you do put yourself first so that you can look after yourself so that you can then look after the next person.
Yeah, right? It's very important, because also they actually get to the age where they can be annoying and stressful, but they also notice if there's anything wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you need to be strong for them.
Yep.
So they will notice.
Yep.
So it's really important to take time out for yourself, make sure you've got your act together before you go near them, because you know, they're beacons of knowledge.
Yeah.
So you have to have time every day in some way to look after yourself, also to be able to then educate them about how to look after themselves, their selves. So, so you need to make sure that you're doing the thing that you would like them to do. You know, it's very important to put yourself first in some way.
And that could be that you actively go and like scheduling time to look after yourself, and it's, you know, you're not being selfish by looking after yourself, right? It's not a bad thing to look after yourself, right? It's not a bad thing if you go and, I don't know, book in an appointment to get a massage, right? Or you go and watch a movie by yourself, or go for a walk by yourself. Like, if you go and spend time just with you, there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
and
it makes you a better
I'm giving you permission to do that.
Yeah,
right?
Me too. It makes you a better person for your kids.
That's it.
Yeah, because they love to also, that they love to emulate what you're doing. So it's very important that you show them that you have got space for yourself, because it's very important that, like, say for my girls, I want to model the idea of looking after myself, because that's what I'd like them to do in the future. I don't want them to just give everything to everyone else and not look after themselves and not have a sense of their own values and self.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Now, you know, if we do conclude that things such as our training or our nutrition are the big stresses in our life, right? Let's say if your cup is half full, but then you start a diet program or you start a training program, and that's causing you...
That freaks you out.
Your cup to overflow, right? You know, we do kind of build in things within the challenge so that we don't overflow the cup straight away, which is why there's, you know, a gentle decrease in our caloric intake, so that we're not...
starts reasonably high too, which is great.
So we're not, you know, starting you at a point where you're in an extreme calorie deficit, super stressed, your cup overflows, you lose motivation, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's like week one. No way.
And same with training. You know, there's a slow build up over that 12-week period, and that's a little bit self-limiting as well, where, you know, as you get better, it becomes harder, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit built in. Now, if we determine that our training is the big stressor in our life, you know, your body's unable to keep up with the volume that you're training with, your body's constantly sore,
getting niggles,
these types of stresses,
yep.
That's the reason why you're not stressing, those types of things. What we can do is go through a process called a deload, right? Now, a deload can last just for one day, a few days, or up to a week, right? And the common recommendation for a deload is that we're training at a slightly lower total volume than what you'd normally been doing, usually about between 30 and 50%. So, you know, one third to a half of what you've normally been doing. That could mean that you, instead of squatting 100 kilos for four reps, you either squat 50 kilos for four reps or four sets, and then, or you squat 100 kilos for two sets, right? Mm. So either we're decreasing the total amount of volume or the total amount of load in our training so that our body can recover, right? Mm. So essentially imagine like a pipe, right? There's so much like water going through that pipe into your cup. And what we're trying to do is just trying to like slow down the water that's going through that pipe into your cup so that your cup can naturally drain on its own, right?
Yes.
Deload. Deloads are cool. I do deloads, you do deloads.
Oh yeah.
Yep. We all do deloads. And I think that's when we are in this kind of intermediate to advanced category where we need to start planning in ways that we can actually recover. And that might mean that we kind of slow down our training so that we can get back into training.
That's right. It actually makes you better. So, yep. And that comes back to that thing where it's not cool to always be have the foot on the accelerator.
Yeah.
It's not cool because you will crash.
You will crash, yeah.
Yeah, so when you've got a bit of experience, maybe you have crashed, whatever it is that's forced you to accept that deloads are a good thing, once you learn about them, they're actually wonderful. You come back better every time.
Yeah.
I can't think of any time when anyone who's done one has not come back better. Or myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I would do a deload like every like 4 to 6 weeks, like through between mesos, usually for a week. And that's a perfect time for me to kind of practice the maybe new set of exercises that I'm doing, or just spending a little bit of time to reconnect with that exercise. So let's say instead of me squatting, let's say 100 kilos, for my working sets, I might go a little bit lighter, maybe just 60 kilos, so one plate on each side, and you know, maybe go like a nice slow movement, maybe a pause at the bottom, like play around my foot positioning. And then when I go through my next training block, that time that I spent just practicing the movement adds on to the total training time.
Yeah.
So it's not always like a halt in training. It could just be just a different type of training.
That's
where it's like,
right.
Great, I can work on, you know, a few other things. Right?
Yeah, it's you're still doing things. It's just that, yeah, you're just modifying things. And you always come back better from that as well, because everybody can do with a little bit of technique work and mobility work and just even just tempo work, all sorts of stuff like that. You only get better from it. And as such a key takeaway, and within your own training, you really need to learn to identify those signs of when you might need a deload.
Yeah. So I think probably the big sign if you need a deload would be like those joint aches and pains. So not necessarily like muscle aches and pains, I'm talking about joints. So instead of you know, it's not that your quads are hurting. It's like, okay, now I've got knee pain, hip pain.
Yeah, my knee hurts a little bit, those sorts of things.
Yeah, so then we're talking about, okay, they're a little bit more like that soft tissue like injury. Mm. All right. So we were like one instance. The next one would be an inability to progress. So we've hit a plateau where, you know, maybe you've been squatting, let's say that 100 kilos, you can't get to rep 10. You always stop shy of rep 9. We're unable to push through. Okay, maybe if we took a deload, reset, and then built ourselves through, then we could break through that plateau, right? So they're the two common ones with the training side of things.
Mm.
Now, the other stressor that we're likely to face within the challenge is a diet-related stressor.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this diet-related stressor could be because we're in an energy deficit for so long. It could be that we are following a restrictive eating plan where mentally we feel that stress of like constantly having, you know, the chicken, broccoli, and rice type meals or something. Are really restrictive, right? And what would happen is we are at a higher risk of binge eating. We're at a higher risk of overconsumption, or just completely ending the plan because it's either too tough, too restrictive, or we've been dieting for too long, right? And we see these individuals where maybe they've thought that they're in a calorie deficit for a really long time, they're probably adapted to that, so they're not necessarily in a deficit, but they've been, you know, going through a restrictive eating plan for so long that they're not seeing progress. They're going through a process of fatigue, unwellness, and then overall malaise, and they can't see progress in their body compositions. Okay, now for that individual, it might be necessary for them to go through a diet break. So very similar to like a deload, but we're just taking a little bit of time away from that diet. Now, that diet break might be that you slightly increase your calories, either for one day, just a few days, or up to a week, right? So let's say you know that your maintenance calories is, let's say, 2,000 calories. You've been consuming 1,600 calories, we're in a 400 calorie deficit, and you've been doing that for 12 weeks, 24 weeks, a year, whatever it is. If you then have identified that you want to go through a diet break, you might choose to increase your calories for that week to maintenance, just for that week, so that you can have time. Maybe you get to enjoy that ice cream, you get to have a slightly bigger dinner, and you get to go out for brunch with your friends. Then you go back to your regular dieting process.
Yeah. Now, your body will de-stress so much from that as well if done correctly.
Yeah. You probably find that your training is, you could probably train a bit harder.
You can move more, actually. You can
move more, those types of things. Now, for the majority of challenges, a diet break isn't necessary.
No.
Where we're going through a 12-week period, which is actually quite short in terms of dieting windows.
It's not super long, so don't stress too much about that.
No. Mm. But if you've been doing, let's say, back-to-back-to-back-to-back challenges, and you've been trying to diet in between.
Yeah, and you're already quite lean as well. Right. Like a lot of people we see. Yeah.
Most of us aren't necessarily in like a energy deficit or calorie deficit stress. Those individuals would be someone like yourself, Nick, who've been dieting for a restrictive period of time, where you might require a diet break.
Often, I get one every Sunday at the moment, just a bit of I suppose you'd call it a refeed.
Yeah.
And why am I so interested in telling you? Because it's like, it becomes obsessive when the calories get quite low.
But then like that day itself isn't necessarily like an open ticket to
it's actually, I think it's possibly for me about 300 calories more. And that's the whole thing that you have to remember. If you go hell for leather, you know, in your budget in the week, suddenly you could blow your entire week's budget
In one meal.
So that's the thing. You don't want to go crazy because you could throw off your entire energy balance for the whole week. Also, you don't want to waste it necessarily on foods that are not nutrient dense. I mean, it depends what your goals are. But, you know, like if you've got some extra budget, it may just be you pop in an extra serve of something that's already on the plan.
Yeah.
And that could really help to just kickstart you rather than going, okay, I'm going to go and get 10 burgers.
Yeah.
Because it's all or nothing for some of us.
All or nothing.
Yeah. Just things to think of.
Yeah. So I was going to say that most individuals aren't necessarily in a stressful period from an energy deficit, other than maybe someone like yourself or a competitive bodybuilder, those types of things. Most of us are stressed from dieting of a diet that's too restrictive. One reason why we modified our nutrition programs to more of a template is to try to negate the effects of a really restrictive diet where at the end of the day in the challenge, you could eat almost anything you wanted to.
That's right. That's what's good about this plan. Yeah.
We are, of course, you'll be better off having more nutritious foods. So a broccoli is going to be better than ice cream, right? Most of us know these things. Most of us know that, you know, having a salad is going to be better than having, you know, like a lollipop, right? Most of us know these things. But if we were more flexible with our dieting approach, that can reduce some of the stresses that we place on our body when we're going through a dieting process.
100%, because also the thing is, say I have macros at the moment, so if I know that if I want to, I can use my budget on anything I want. So therefore, just in my head, the stress is removed. So every day I can say to myself, if you want to have whatever it is, you go for it.
Yeah.
I don't do it, but just the permission
to do it,
to do it, free. it just helps so much than going, you are never allowed to have that again. You know, well, as soon as you place that limitation on yourself, you might think that you can overcome it, but there'll be a time when you can think about nothing but that.
And it kind of becomes a bit obsessive, right?
Yeah. So I think just even the fact that there are so many things on the plan, on the drop-down menu, that you can interchange, you can go, okay, I don't feel like that today, but I'm going to swap it for this. and it's flexible in that way. I think that that's something that, that, you know, if you want to have a bit of a diet break, you can still find foods within that that are going to nourish you that still fit within the plan, you know, because there's just so many.
It's now, everything. We've spoken a lot of ways to manage stresses and lots of small things, but I think we really only just touched the surface, right? And I think at the end of the day, there's lots of aspects to the challenge that we can help with, but there's also lots of things that are outside of our scope. Where, you know, we've just touched on the tip of the iceberg, but sometimes if you are experiencing stresses, you might need to A, do a little bit of research, or B, seek some help.
Seek some help.
And that could be help from a mentor, coach. That could be help from someone like a psychologist, or someone outside of that that realm where we engage with another person to work on ways to help empty our cup.
Definitely. Right? And there are so many professionals out there that that's their job to help us. And there's no worries with us like about asking for help.
No.
That's what everyone's here to do. You know, to get better, you do need to acknowledge things that are going on in your life, no matter what they are, and work out ways and strategies to deal with them.
Yeah.
So that's only going to make you a better person, isn't it?
So there you go, guys. That's our tips for managing stress in under an hour.
I think we did a good job.
The best way to think about stresses in our life is to think about a cup, right? We've got our capacity, our cup, and we're slowly adding water to that cup or any fluid, let that be coffee, tea, whatever it is. There's some residual fluid that is there from the last time we emptied that cup. Maybe that cup already has a few holes in it because that, you know, the stresses slowly drain out throughout our lives, right? Some of us have really big holes in that cup where our stress comes in and goes out, happy days. Others might be, you know, really blocked up. These holes are really blocked up. Some of us have our cup underneath the tap and the tap's on full blast because we've got lots of things going on.
And it just runs 24/7.
We're constantly busy. We've got lots of things going on. Some of us, you know, just reframe that and, you know, maybe just move our cup away from the tap and we don't have all the stresses in our life. We need to find ways to help empty that cup, especially if we're looking at adding more stresses through a training and a nutrition plan that we do in the challenge, right? So for some of us, we might not even be ready to start the challenge because we have too many stresses in our life. Some of us are inherently going to fail the challenge because we have too many other stresses in our life. And then some of us just need to seek help to remove those stresses so that we can be successful in the challenge, right?
Agreed.
If you are experiencing a stressor, sometimes the first step will be just to acknowledge that it exists, right?
That's so true. And just, chat to yourself, chat to someone else about it. Sometimes just talking about the problem helps.
Then you can find ways to either remove the stressor or modify the stressor. And that's very unique to the stressor that it is there. And then you could spend some time to reflect why that stressor came into your life and then how you can potentially stop it from happening again. Right?
So taking ownership.
Yes.
Important.
That's it. Let's wrap it up there. Okay. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week for the Challenge Weekly Show.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Coach Steve. Bye.
Thanks, Coach Nick Spaghetti.